Welcome to a very, very special edition of the Westlife Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. Give us a follow on the socials at Westlife Pod on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Westlife. And if you want to support the show, patreon.com/Westlife as well. So obviously on the show today, as well as my esteemed colleague, Rob Bashara, we have none other than club legend, arguably the heart and soul. Well, not arguably, he is the heart and soul of the West Tigers franchise. We have Robbie Farah on the show. And Rob, it's a hell of a chat. I was sitting there stunned about how open and how much fun Robbie Farah was.
Yeah, well, he's that sort of guy. He's a man's man. He didn't hold back. It was all positive. I'm sure the listeners are going to love the chat. And to be honest, I think it went better than I'd even envisaged it could ever go. So, no, really glad to finally get him on the show, and I'm sure he'll be back in the future.
And he talks plenty about the incoming season. Of course, he's the trainer, blue shirting for the West Tigers, and at training a couple of times a week. And as we head into the season, this show's kicking into gear, and we have a pretty cool announcement that Wes Ashfield, who obviously, major sponsors and pretty much owners of the West Tigers, are coming on board as sponsors of the show this year. It's a relationship that it's very exciting. It's, obviously going to help grow the show and to be so get this close to the club itself. From humble beginnings, Rob, I started this podcast saying, have people hear us talk about West Tigers and how much we love them, and West have come on, they've seen that and want to come on board and help support us throughout the year supporting the
show.
Well,
well done to you, mate. Well done to you, because I know you set that meeting up with the boss there, Simon Cook, and he had nothing but good things to say about the podcast. So that's it's a nice little feather in our cap. So great to have him on board, and it's a great club, and we look forward to a long relationship with them.
Yep, absolutely. I know that they do a lot of stuff involved with the club, obviously with game watching and that sort of thing. They're very tied in with the Ambush, who we've dealt with. Obviously, friend of the show Kelly is involved with them as well. So it's going to be a nice, big, awesome relationship throughout the year. And that also doesn't mean Big Shane's going to try and get on the show for MG Pump Solutions as well whenever he can. So everything's getting bigger and better for the Westlife podcast, including this episode. I was just the little kid in me who grew up wanting to be Robbie Farah as a teenager. This was a very, very cool episode. So without further ado, everyone, please enjoy mine and Rob's chat with none other than the great Robbie Farah. Well, first off, I have to ask, your Super Bowl trip a week or so ago, that looked bloody amazing. Looked like a hell of a trip.
Yeah, it was. It was a great trip. Been a while since we've been able to travel, so to finally get on a plane, it felt a bit weird at first, to be honest, but once we were over there, my business partner and I, we spent 9 nights in New York, which was great. First time in New York, such a great city. Got a fair bit done there in terms of business and meetings and some opportunities moving forward. And then we had 24 clients come to LA and meet us in LA for the Super Bowl. So we got to 2 NBA games, and obviously Super Bowl weekend was pretty amazing. So, successful trip. I think, to get through that unscathed, with no setbacks, I think everyone's a bit worried about traveling and sort of quarantines and things like that. But, to get through that, hopefully it will give people a lot of confidence now to get back to some sort of normality moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those that don't know, do you want to give your business a plug? Tell us a bit about it.
It's called 247. We're an elite experience and events company. We sort of curate packages to sporting events around the world, and not only sporting events, but any sort of lifestyle or experiences, whether it's adventure, culinary, whatever it may be. So So we sort of take clients over and create their itinerary from end to end, from once you get on the plane to once you get back, and tickets for the game and events around the game, experiences, dinners, parties, etc. So it's hopefully, it's been a tough couple of years with COVID, not being able to sort of do the things that we've been wanting to do. But I think now there's a high demand for what we're, the event space and what we're doing, and people have got money to spend and people are itching to get out and about. So
yeah, it's good to see.
Yeah, hopefully we can create these experiences for many more people moving forward.
I think just on a personal note, you went to Super Bowl 50 from memory. The last time
That was the first Super Bowl I went to.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how the business idea was created.
Okay.
From that trip. And then, we've been to several after that.
Yeah. I only say that because I'm a Denver Broncos fan. I had to bring that up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That'd be that day. It was, it was a pretty dull sort of game, that one, but I was happy with the result. In terms of defensive, it was a very defensive game. But anyway, to rugby league, we are a rugby league podcast, and you're a rugby league club legend. So you're in the blue shirt on Friday night. So what will your involvement be with the club this year? Be a lot of that.
Yeah, obviously I started the blue shirt last year, which was something I thoroughly enjoyed, and then. Unfortunately, when the competition moved to Queensland, I wasn't able to go up there and be in the bubble. So, really missed that because I enjoy doing the blue shirt. It's it's great being out there on the field with the boys. Delivering messages from Madge, getting the feel for the game. Whilst you're out there, you're emotionally involved in the game. Just don't have to make 50 tackles anymore, which is nice. So, just trying to, it's a different set of eyes for the boys, when I'm out there from the back and try and, help where I can and deliver the messages from Madge as clear and concise as I can as well. So, I'll be doing that again this year. Obviously, I was up there at Gosford on the weekend and looking forward to round one against the Storm. And, I've just been helping out in pre-season. I've been down there, a couple of days a week. Helping out, Nath Kalis has come in as our new defensive coach.
Yep.
So I've primarily been working with him on the defensive structures that he's brought to the club and trying to implement them to the best of our ability and make sure the boys understand what he's trying to bring. And he's been really good. He's a really clear communicator. It's pretty simple what he's asking for and. The boys know their job, and they just got to go out there and execute that to the best of their ability. So I've just been working closely with him on trying to improve our defensive systems.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, we are very proud to have Wes Ashfield as a partner for us this season. And if anyone is not heading to the game on Saturday night, Wes Ashfield invites everyone to watch the West Tigers take on the Melbourne Storm in the season opener. Live and loud in the lounge this Saturday, 12th of March. Kickoff is at 7:35 p.m. from the home of Tigers. For those who've never been to West Ashfield, you can find it at 115 Liverpool Road, Ashfield. Make a night of it. Grab a neat bite to eat from their garden restaurant with delicious pizzas, burgers and footy specials. I had my birthday there last year and watched us kick the Newcastle Knights butts. Last year, it's a great feed. My whole family, we love the food there. The new upgrades are great, and they've got the new late night Asian restaurant Wok On, which I cannot wait to try soon enough. So it's got all your Asian favorites. It's a noodle bar, delicious stir fries, and more made right in front of your eyes. So stay tuned for more exciting dining offers and giveaways. Via this podcast in association with Wes Ashfield. For more information, head to Wes Ashfield's website, www.wesashfield.com.au, or give him a follow on Facebook or Instagram at Westlife Ashfield.
You mentioned there you're glad you don't have to make 50 tackles, but is there any point when you're out there that you kind of wish that you had the jersey for real on and were still playing?
Oh, yeah, look, at times you do. You sort of get emotionally involved in the game. And But I definitely don't. I don't miss it. You know, when you're out there, you do. And now that you're not playing, you see the speed of the game and the hits that the boys are copping, and it sort of reminds you why you decided to hang the boots up. So, look, there are times, especially myself. You know, I'm a pretty passionate person, and you get out there and you might get frustrated at times when we're not playing so well, or when we are playing so well, you sort of want to jump on the back of that. So, I'm definitely happy in the role that I'm doing, and I'll leave the rest of the boys to hopefully have a big year this year.
The involvement with the club, and you've seen a lot of what's going on, it's a pretty cliche. Every preseason, every team says it's the best preseason ever, but it does seem from the outside looking in, there's kind of a little bit of a more happy sort of vibe and bit of confidence around the club at the moment. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think that's slowly been building over the last couple of years. You know, like there's no secret for me. I think the club lost its identity there for a few years, and I think we're slowly starting to get that back. We've got Tigers people getting back involved. You know, Sheensy's back, you know, Benji's back at the club. Paddy Richards is there. You know, Chris Lawrence. You know, all these guys that are part of the Tigers fabric. You know, we're starting to bring a lot of that back to the club. And I just think off the field we're getting all our ducks in order. You know, we've got the new centre of excellence. We should be ready in a few months. I think we've made some really good signings moving forward. You know, next year with Appy and Isaiah Papali'i coming on board, we've got some good young kids in that have, you know, really, we saw their development last year. Guys like Stefano, Dane Laurie, Sean Bloor, who unfortunately is going to, you know, miss this whole season with a knee. You know, Adam Dewey as well, who I thought, he became a leader last year. We're hoping to have him back halfway through the year. So there's a lot of positive signs at the club. It's not going to be a quick fix. And I think everyone's got to be realistic about that as well. But in my opinion, there's no doubt that we're moving in the right direction.
You mentioned Sheensy in there. Has it been great to reunite with him, and also... like how much involvement has he had since he's got back in Australia?
Yeah, look, it's great. Like I said, you know, Sheensy's part of the fabric of the club. He's our premiership winning coach, the only premiership we've won, and he brings a wealth of knowledge. And he's got an aura about him too, Sheensy. You know, he's got a lot of respect in the game. So to have him back at the club, I think it's awesome for us. He really hasn't been... on the field in terms of training and things like that. You sort of see him popping around in the background, but yeah, his job at the moment I think has been in terms of the recruitment, the pathways, and the development of our juniors, and I think that's, you know, we're making big strides there as a club, putting a lot of work into our pathways. You know, we've got a really big junior base out west and in Balmain, and we've got to make sure that, you know, we're holding on to the best players that are coming through and making sure they grow up wanting to play for the Tigers like I did, and like, you know, Benji did, and you know, Bryce Gibbs, Liam Fulton and Dean Hallettown and all these guys. Like, for us, we not only want to play first grade, we want to play first grade for the Tigers, and I think we've got to get that back in the club too, where our local juniors dream about growing up to pull on the black and gold jersey, or black, gold and white jersey, and play their careers at the Tigers. We've seen too many Tigers juniors go on to other clubs and further their career, where, you know, really it's, they should be doing it in our colours.
So I've got a few questions. So we actually have a few Patreon subscribers that chuck us a couple of bucks every month, and they've asked me to ask a couple of questions. Justin has asked, who is the best player that you've seen that for one reason or another didn't play NRL? That's a very random one, but yeah, so maybe a guy that didn't quite... play NRL that you remember seeing across your career?
Oh, jeez. That's a tough one.
Name one of your mates, Robbie.
You were a decent footballer back in the day, weren't you, Rob?
I wish. Yeah, when I was asleep.
Mate, yeah. I'm not too sure, to be honest.
It's a tough question, Justin.
It's a tough question. Obviously, I've played a lot of players. I think, I'm not sure. Like, for me, when I think of players that sort of should have had a great career and didn't, you know, one particular name comes to mind. That's Simon Dwyer.
That's a great answer. You
know, Simon for me, breaks my heart every time I see him at the club with his arm in a sling. He came through as a young kid, and you knew from day one that he was something special.
Yeah.
Played City Origin with him, and yeah, he was destined. He would have played for New South Wales. He would have played for Australia. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He would have had a really long career playing for the Tigers. So, when you talk about players that should have had a really good career in the NRL that didn't, he's one that comes to mind.
Yeah. He's got a follow-up question that's much easier. So someone that's in the West Tigers system at the moment that necessarily hasn't made their debut yet that you're tipping it's going to be the next big thing?
There's a few good young kids coming through the grades. Obviously, I think we've got a little glimpse of Rua through the trials, who everyone's calling him the mini tease. He sort of got the same body type as Brandon Smith,
and yep.
he's still got a lot to learn. But he's a tough kid. He works hard. There's also a couple of young forwards, Fanua Pol, who I think's got a big future, and I can't pronounce his surname for the life of me. Young Justin, who is part of the junior system as well. Geez, you guys might know how to pronounce his surname.
Oh, Rob and I are terrible at pronouncing.
Okay.
Yeah, so just well, we're
yeah,
not great.
Yeah, so I'll sorry, his surname off the top of my head. Oh, I can't for the life of me say it. But yeah, he's if anyone that's seen the juniors at West. He's from what I've seen in preseason. He's a really good kid. He's got great ball skills. He's got a good build on him. I think he's definitely one to keep an eye on for the future.
You mentioned Rua in there, Dane. So he's asked you about Rua. Obviously, the hooker link is there. He says, do you reckon he's? You kind of already answered this, but is he NRL ready? If not, what does he need to work on?
Yeah, look, it's tough. You know, he's still young. He's still got a lot to learn. Is he NRL ready? At this stage, probably not, to be honest. You could throw him in there for a game or two, but he still needs a lot of development. And the thing with these young boys coming through is people need to remember the last 2 years they haven't really played much football because of COVID, and all the lower grades have been sort of abandoned because of COVID. So that's really hindered their development over the last couple of years. And he needs to play consistent footy against men and really develop his game. And he's got all the attributes there. He's still got to learn his craft as a hooker and keep developing that. But in terms of his attitude, his toughness and his willingness to work, I think he can make a good fist of it.
Robbie, with the recent injury to Jacob Little, obviously. Mm. Jake looks like he's going to start, Jakey Simkin. Would you assume that Peachy will take that backup role on the bench as a second hooker, or will we play Jake Simkin for 80 minutes?
Oh, I don't think Jake can play 80, probably for a couple of reasons at the moment. Well, one, I think the game's too fast in general. I think most teams, you need to have a backup hooker option. I think to ask your hooker these days to play 80 minutes week in, week out is a tough ask. So, I've been chatting to Madge about whether we play two hookers or you have that utility on the bench like a Peachy that can fill in for a little bit and give those boys a rest. So obviously the fact that Lidsey looks like he might miss round one makes things quite difficult, and Jakey's coming off a shoulder reco too. So, he probably needs a bit of a run. I think last week in the trial he had about 20 or 25 odd minutes and he blew out pretty quickly out there, which was to be expected. So he needs to build up his fitness levels. That's a decision for Madge whether, you've got Peachy there that can cover 13 and 9. Whether young Rua gets thrown in the deep end in round one, I'm not too sure. But I think they're the discussions that will be had over the next week or so.
Yeah, fair enough.
You mentioned there, obviously, New South Wales Cup and flag in the lower grades getting cancelled last year. Do you think the... obviously every team's in the same boat, but as a team like ours that has a lot of guys developing and coming through, it was like a bit more like our New South Wales Cup side was basically top of the table when the comp started. So they were doing, not only were they doing really well, but it was also something, there's a lot of guys that kind of really needed a run, that either to get back from injury or develop their game for incoming years. Do you think that affected our club more than most others?
Oh, look, I think it affected everyone right across the board, to be honest. As I said, it's quite hard as an 18, 19-year-old where, you're not getting that. One, you're not getting the match fitness. Two, you're not getting, the experience of playing against grown men in New South Wales Cup and learning your trade. It's like a, it's like when I'm trying to relate it to cricket where, you get someone and he just scores a million runs in Sheffield Shield and he's almost demanding to get picked for the test side. And it's similar here, you can train all you want, but until you get out there in the lower grades and you get players that, through New South Wales Cup and they just perform week in, week out, and they almost, you can't not pick them. And I think that's what separates, that's when you've got a really good first grader, when you've got guys that go back to New South Wales Cup and perform week in, week out, and they just show that they're better than that level. So I think, right across the board for those guys that are, 18, 19, coming out of Jersey Flegg, not being able to get that experience and really develop and mature their game. I think it's really been tough for everyone at that age and for those clubs, trying to develop their juniors and bring them through to be at a first grade standard.
So Sammy has asked, what are your longer term rugby league associated career aspirations? She's, I remember you studying commerce at uni during your playing days. Is admin or coaching what you're looking at?
Yeah, it's something I'm not really too sure about yet. I'm enjoying the coaching aspect at the moment, but I'm also only in there part time, doing it a day or two a week because of obviously I've got business ventures outside of the game, and I think the fact that I've got that variety at the moment in my life where I've got 247, I've also just recently opened a Pilates studio as well, and
oh wow.
About to open some gyms, and then I get to go into footy and being around that environment is something I really enjoy. But yeah, down the track, I'm not sure. People always ask me whether I want to be a head coach one day, or whether I want to get into admin. And I think I'll just naturally sort of progress, to one or the other. I'm not too sure which one that's going to be at the moment, but I could definitely see myself in an admin role or in a role like a GM, like Sheensy, where you're sort of overseeing recruitment and the football department. But I could also see myself coaching too. So, yeah, I think I don't really have a plan, to be honest, to answer the question. I think that'll just naturally progress one way or the other.
Yep. And things change so quickly with those things. Yeah, opportunities become available. Robbo's RC mentioned Jason Kalis earlier. Sorry, Nathan Kalis. What changes have the two new assistant coaches implemented in attack and defence?
Yeah, as I said before, Nathan's been really clear and concise about what he wants and the defensive structures, and he's made it pretty black and white where we can review a game and we know at any given stage of a game what everyone's role is in defence, and if you didn't do your job, why didn't you do your job, and we can clearly identify that. So I think that's the biggest thing at the moment. He's obviously brought his own ideas in terms of structures and systems that he's putting in place, but the biggest thing is that players clearly understand what he's trying to implement, and there's no excuse for them to not go out there and do their job because of how simple he's made it for them.
And finally, Ben has asked, I reckon you've answered or been asked this many times, how did it feel smacking Anthony Watts at Leichhardt that day?
Yeah, it's funny that I get asked about that all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't know. I think it just took people by surprise, to be honest. That's why people still ask me about it. I think at that stage of my career, I think it was 2009, and I was always seen as a sort of attacking player. Wasn't really renowned for toughness or my defence or anything at that stage of my career. And he put one on me in the scrum, and for no real reason at all. And then I just clearly remember just you know, telling him I'm going to get him back in the next scrum because the ref at the time didn't do anything about it. And Bryce Gibbs offered to get him for me, and I just said no. And I said he's mine. So you just make sure you hold their front rowers so they don't hold me back. And so then I got him back in the next scrum. And I think the biggest thing I remember about that game was we'd started really slow. I think we were losing 8-0 at the time, and that really brought us to life. You know, we both got put in the bin for 10, but came back on and we ended up winning by 30-odd points. And Royce Simmons gave me our man of the match just for decking him. So I think it was a bit of that Tiger spirit. I think Leichhardt Oval. And,
yeah.
If I didn't hit him back and stand up for myself, I think, wouldn't have been worth my grain of salt, to be honest.
Lord, your audacity to do it at a packed Leichhardt Oval, like, let's... One thing,
me or him?
Him. Like to do it, yeah. It's your house. Like to do it, like the crowd. Obviously, as you said, it fired up the crowd and probably like it sparked the momentum, the other way. But just the audacity that you can think he can, take on you at the spiritual home of a packed crowd. It's
big mistake on his part. I don't think he's the sharpest tool in the shed, to be honest. I mean, history sort of tells you that. But as I said, I don't know why at the time. I honestly didn't do anything to him for him to hit me. I didn't even know who'd hit me until I saw because we'd scored off the scrum. So I think Benji scored in the corner, so which gave me time to look up at the replay and see what had happened. I remember Shane Hayne didn't send him to the bin, and I said, okay, well, if you're not going to do something about it, I will. And I did.
It seems like you got a pretty good memory, unless that game in particular stuck. Like, you know how like Glenn McGrath can remember every single wicket that he ever took? Like, do you feel like you can remember games individually pretty well?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a footy head like that. I remember games and certain moments in games and through my career and through like our career as a club. And I'm pretty good like that, I think.
Yeah.
Don't test me, but
I just thought of that then, like just how like you're describing, because a lot of elite athletes don't necessarily, they do it either for like money or they're not quite a purist of the game, they just have a pure talent sort of thing. So to be able to recall something 13 years ago that well, it's but it was a pretty memorable day, definitely, both obviously for you and West Tigers fans, obviously why we get asked about it all the time as well. So to finish off, we'll do some non-footy questions. So I asked Sean Blaw and Adam the same questions. So your favourite food or meal?
Ooh, I love my food. It's hard to pick one. Lebanese dish, I'm Lebanese. My favourite Lebanese dish is a dish called kousa, which is like stuffed zucchinis. So it was my favourite dish my mum used to make for me, and my sister, my auntie, still make it for me today. But if I had to choose a meal, probably a big, like, pre-game or post-game meal is a big pasta schnitzel combo, so like chicken schnitzel with a spaghetti bowl on the side. Always a bit of garlic bread too. Beautiful.
Your favourite...
Can't eat that anymore, but...
Yeah, I guess when you're not training as hard. Is that hard coming, like, obviously from... you see a lot of swimmers put on a lot of weight after they retire, and footy players a little bit too, because you're obviously not burning as many calories. Is it hard to you're obviously still it's really good shape, but you see some footballers that get post-career and the diet stays the same, the training doesn't?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, when I retired, I thought I'd let myself go a bit, but I did that for a few months, but then I just woke up one morning and was sort of click my fingers. So what am I doing to myself? When you live a certain lifestyle for so long, where you're pushing your body to its limits, and you almost crave that feeling of really training hard. And you know, I still do that today. I trained earlier today, almost made myself vomit, to be honest.
Yeah, but, right.
And it's almost I think deep down a part of you wants you still want to know that you still got it. Like you can still push yourself that hard. I enjoy keeping fit and training. As I said, I've opened the Pilates studio, opening some gyms. So
do you want to give them a
plug? That health and lifestyle has been part of my life for a long time and will continue to be. I don't think I could ever let myself go, to be honest.
You mentioned the gym and the Pilates studios. Do you want to give them a plug, or are they
Oh, yeah. The Pilates studios in Concord. It's called KX Pilates. It's a franchise. So we've been open for about 3 months. That's been going really well. And then the gym's another franchise called BFT. So our first one will be open in Five Dock, we're hoping, by the end of April. And then there'll be two more, hopefully, by the end of the year as well.
Beautiful.
Which we haven't decided where they'll be yet. But okay. In terms of the training, but it's something that's part of my life. I still train every day.
Yeah.
Probably train more now than when I played, because you're obviously not as sore from making 50 or 60 tackles on the weekend.
Yeah.
So you can go for a run or do whatever, and then the next day you feel fine.
Yep. Favorite restaurant? So kind of similar to the last question, but is there a restaurant in particular that you like going to?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, probably Rockpool. That's probably my favorite in Sydney. Always a great meal. And China Doll, if we're talking Asian.
Yep.
And then good old Italian, probably Grappa. I'll give Grappa
a plug. Adam said the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, Adam lives there, so. that's always a good local feed.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I love my comedies. I'm a bit of a Will Ferrell fan.
Oh, talking my
Vince
language.
Vince Vaughn. Yeah, so, Anchorman was one of my favorite movies. I actually named my dog Baxter.
Oh, nice.
Ron Burgundy's dog, yep. Baxter. Wedding Crashers, all those stupid comedies that they make.
Yep.
Step Brothers, Blades of Glory, Semi-Pro, all of them. So, yeah, I love them all.
Yeah.
I could probably quote you talking about memories about footy. When it comes to movie lines, I think I'd play for Australia, including movie lines.
I reckon I could almost take your Will Ferrell quotes. I'm the same. Yeah. I love all those movies. Got them all on DVD, watching a thousand times. Plus Adam Sandler movies, the old school ones as well.
He's got some shit ones too.
Favorite TV show?
Seinfeld, hands down. Greatest show ever made. I still watch it every day.
Yeah, I literally just finished because I, growing up in the 90s as a kid, they used to be on it. 7 o'clock every night, Channel 10. So I caught them across my life. I caught Seinfeld episodes here and there, but I only just recently finished watching all 9 seasons chronologically. Yeah. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, I was in New York. I had to go get a photo in front of the Seinfeld restaurant. So I did the touristy thing. So
how good.
Yeah, no, I'm obsessed with Seinfeld. If I meet someone that's not a fan of Seinfeld, well, I can't be friends with them.
Yeah. I love Friends as well, but a lot of people seem to go one or the other. I love both. But your favorite athlete growing up?
Stephen Jobs. My favorite footy player was Terry Lamb growing up. I used to love Terry Lamb. He was my idol. I still do. I got the ticket from his last ever game at Belmore Oval, and I've had it laminated and was in my wallet for about 10 years.
Wow.
I still got it in my bedside drawer somewhere. But my favourite athlete, Stephen Gerrard. Obviously, everyone knows how big a Liverpool fan I am.
And, yep.
He was someone I aspired to be, obviously, in a different sport, but just everything he stood for. Local Liverpool boy, went on to captain the club, played his whole career there, which is something I wanted to do at the Tigers.
Yeah.
Fortunate enough that I've got to meet him a few times. He's stayed in contact with me and got me a ticket to the Champions League final a couple of years ago, which was unbelievable. And so I sort of pinched myself that I've got my idol's number in my phone, which is pretty cool.
Did you play? You're obviously a big soccer football fan growing up. Did you play a fair bit of soccer growing up?
Oh, just for fun with my mates, but I never took it seriously. Okay. My best mate lived in the street, was a pretty good soccer player, and we used to play socially and things like that. But no, I played cricket and league.
Yeah.
Played rep cricket till 16 and league. Wow. and decided to go down the path of rugby league.
And you played for New South Wales once, I believe, didn't you? There was a 2020 tournament that you played. There was some sort of celebrity tournament or something that you played in.
The cricket?
Yeah.
Was it maybe one of the charity games?
Yeah, well, it was like a charity game. It was a charity game or something. I went
saw you play.
Yeah.
Once, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been, I can't remember what or something, maybe bushfires or or something years ago. Yeah, it was good fun. Steve Waugh and I think Mark Taylor were the captains of both sides. And
yeah.
Got to play out on the SCG, which was, you know, a pretty cool experience.
Yeah. You've already, obviously, you're a massive Liverpool fan. I think every West Tigers fan knows that. So favourite sporting teams outside of rugby league, is there any teams other than Liverpool that you support?
Look, I've got a team in most sports. Obviously, NFL, I'm a Packers fan. NBA, I grew up supporting the Seattle Supersonics, if anyone that remembers them.
Yep.
they're not around anymore. I guess they're OKC now, yep. Which is Josh Giddey's playing for, which is pretty cool. But not really invested in those. But yeah, like Liverpool's a big one.
Yep.
So that's about it.
Yeah, Josh Giddey's absolutely killing it for OKC this year. You love seeing it. Another Aussie boy killing it over there. Favorite band or artist?
Ooh, growing up, I grew up in like the Boyz II Men era. That old school R&B. I love Bon Jovi. Got a signed Bon Jovi. I got to meet Bon Jovi one time.
Yep,
I gave him a West Tigers jersey. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that. Shouts to a friend of the show, Kelly, who's been goes to like every Bon Jovi, massive West Tigers fan and massive Bon Jovi fan. So you just made her day saying that.
Yeah, well, Wayne Cousins, who was our media manager at the Tigers for a long time, he organised a meet and greet with him. And, when they had a concert out at the Sydney Football Stadium here in Sydney, and got to meet him backstage, and we gave him a Tigers jersey and got a photo. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find a photo online somewhere. And it's pretty cool. I love Coldplay. That sort of stuff at the moment. It was pretty low. You spoke about Super Bowl 50 in San Fran. That halftime show was Coldplay, Bruno Mars and Beyonce, which was pretty awesome. Yep. I know everyone raves on about this year's halftime show, but for me, that one beats it.
Yeah, right. All right, the game beats it for me, just to reiterate that the Denver Broncos won that one.
Yeah.
Last question. So this question is favourite thing to do outside of footy. Obviously, you've got plenty of time outside of footy at the moment. But yeah, what's your favourite thing to do non-footy related?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I think at the moment, like I think the thing I've found post-career is what I've enjoyed the most is the freedom to sort of, do what I want, really. Like it's... the thing about being a professional athlete is your life's so structured, and everything revolves around football 24/7. So now to have that freedom where, I can go out for a nice meal and a couple of wines, or if I need to travel and get away for a weekend, whether it's interstate or overseas, it's the ability to do that. I'm not much of a golfer. I try to get into golf, but I don't think I've got the patience for it, to be honest. A bit too slow for me. But yeah, mate, the normal things, really. Just getting to enjoy that time with my mates and travel and do all those things that I probably never had the opportunity to do as much when I played.
I'm sure Rob can help you with golf swing. You got a pretty good swing, don't you, Rob? You'd say you tell me.
Yeah, but I enjoy tennis more than golf. So yeah, so Rob and I have had a hit of tennis. We used to do it quite regularly, but not so much at the moment. We should get back into it, Rob, to be honest.
We will get back into it, mate. After the wedding, we will get into it.
We've got to get you back in a shape, mate. I think last time we played, you tore a calf or something, didn't you?
I did. I tore my calf after 15 minutes, and Rob gave up on me after that. So I haven't seen Robbie for about 5 months.
You slimmed down a lot, Rob, recently.
Yeah, I think I'm about 5 kilos away from giving him a run for his money again, but he kicks my ass every time I play now. So
he's trimmed down because he's got a wedding to prepare for. The challenge will be after the wedding what he does.
That's exactly right. You're a good man, Rob.
We've got to keep that weight off here, mate.
No, we will. We will.
Robbie, thank you so much for giving us the time and giving us a great chat. Ahead of the 2022 season, and hopefully it's a great one for the West Tigers, and we'll see you with the boys, the Premiership trophy at the end of the season.
That'll be very nice. Hopefully it's a big year for us at the club, and for all the supporters, I hope they get to enjoy it. I know there's been a lot of negativity around the club in the last few years, but I think I just implore the fans to get on board and really support the boys. Everyone's trying hard and pulling in the right direction. I've got no doubt that there's some good times ahead in the new future.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Robbie.
On you, Robbie. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues Club and as well as MG Pump Solutions. If you could please subscribe if you'd love to hear us again. We're going to have episodes twice a week this season, Mondays and Thursdays. So we're going to, as the season rolls in, be sure to catch us every week. And if you can, give us a like on the socials. So at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter, search for West Life Podcast on Facebook. And if you'd like to take part in the show, patreon.com/West Life. It's just a couple of bucks a month to help grow the show. We'll see you again next time on the West Life Podcast.